1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin reading there in verse 14. It says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Now, one thing that the Lord has always set forth in His Word and has would lay to the conscience and mind of His people is that there is one God. He said to the children of Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." That is, before My face. He didn't say it's all right to have other gods, just put Me as number one. Now, that's kind of how the men of the world think about serving God. They say, well, we believe in God, but then we've got all this other stuff, and we've got a pecking order for it. No, He said there's nothing that is to occupy our thoughts or our affections in the highest sense other than Him. And so that's what Paul's saying here. He said, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." That is, don't be entertaining anything that would divide your affection between the Lord and whatever that might be. Flee from it. Turn from it. And of course, you know, as a man regards something in his heart, as the Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So whatever a man regards of great value in his mind, there is a sense in which that becomes an idol to him. The things that are of this earth, we're to use them, Paul said, but not abuse them. That is, they're just passing things. What does it matter if we have the things of this world? It doesn't really make any difference because God's given them to us for a temporary time, but the thing that is important are those things that we hold in our affection and in our heart. And He says, don't be guilty. Don't find yourself holding on to anything that you would have regard to. He says, I speak as to wise men. He says, I'm not talking to you as people that don't have any knowledge of the truth, because I've come to you preaching the gospel of Christ. So I'm not telling you things that you don't know anything about. He says, I'm speaking to you as those who have the mind of Christ, who've been taught of God. Judge ye what I say. Listen to me. The cup of blessing which we bless, that is that which is our focus, that which is most important to us, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? I mean, isn't that where our affection and our consideration and our worship is to be centered around? Isn't that true? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I mean, if we do these things, if we come together to remember Christ, is that not the very, do we not center our thought and our mind and all of our affections there? Is that not our place of worship? Is it not that which we partake of? Not just we eat it. See, that was one of the things. Now, he's building his case as he gets later on in the fourth, I believe about the 11th chapter, where he's talking to them about partaking of the Lord's Supper. And he said, when you come together, he said, some of you are coming together not to eat the Lord's Supper, you're just coming together to eat. He said, and that's what he's coming together. He says, isn't this why we come together? To commune with Christ as a body, as brethren in the Lord. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We've not come down here as individuals to worship the Lord. We've come here together as God's people to worship the Lord. We want to band ourselves together. It's not that I say, well, I'm going to worship God in my own little way, and you can worship God in your own little way. You know, that's the way, again, the religious world looks at it. Well, that's how you worship, and that's how we worship, and we're just going to do our thing. No. There's but one object of worship. There is but one true worship, and it is the worship of Christ and the breaking of His body and the drinking of His blood. We being many, for we're all partakers of that one bread. That's our whole consideration. That's why we come together, is to magnify Christ. We didn't come down here to teach one another various duties and things that we ought to be doing and gather up some kind of committee to go out and solve some problem that has arisen in the community. That's not why we come together. Now, that's not to say that there might not be some value in doing such things as that, but not as the church. Because we have one reason that we come together, and that is to worship Christ, to magnify Him. Now, all of those other things, they're not in themselves necessarily bad, but they're just not what the church of God comes together to do. We come together for one thing, and that is to worship Him. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, who ate of the sacrifices of the altar? The priests. Now, this is kind of a little different than most religious concepts, isn't it? Because you see, the point he's making here is, he said if the priests ate of the sacrifices of the altar, and we eat of the sacrifices, as it were, of the altar, why is that? Because we've been made priests and kings before Almighty God. We don't come here in some sort of a hierarchy where we have some who are able to reach God on a higher plane than we are, but we come together as brethren. And we minister one to the other as brethren. Not in some hierarchical priesthood type consideration. Are they not they which eat of the altar, of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? Well, sure. I mean, that's the right thing. That's, we do eat of those things which we offer unto the Lord, which He's offered for us. And we give glory unto Him. Now, what say I then? that the idol is anything. So he's saying, now what am I saying? He said, when I tell you to flee from idolatry, am I saying to you that, well, if you should have something to do with one of these idols, that some of these idols are in competition with God, and you might really fall into some sort of a place of condemnation? No, he said, look, what am I saying? Is the idol anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice, is it anything? I mean, because somebody has a piece of wood or stone or something, and they hold it up and they bring it into our midst, is that going to taint us? I mean, if somebody brought a statue of Buddha and put it here in the floor, would that somehow or other cause us to be corrupt? Not at all. But why would we do that? I mean, it's not anything. It doesn't make any difference. It's just a piece of wood or a piece of stone or whatever it is. These false gods, they're what they are. Now, they're not anything to us, and they can't in any wise harm us. They can't in any wise bring us into condemnation. But why would we want to do that? What would be the purpose of it? What? Are they anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So, he said it doesn't make any difference about the thing itself's not the problem, but it's the regard that people have unto it. Why would we have any regard unto those things that the men of this world have regard to? Why would we hold them up in our mind as being of some value? Don't they sacrifice these things to devils? Isn't that what their purpose is? Well, why would I want to have anything to do with it? I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. I don't want you to have fellowship with devils. Now, he didn't say that if you take a statue of Buddha and put it up there, you haven't sacrificed with devils, did he? Because he said that doesn't mean anything. But he said, I don't want you to have any regard to it. See, I've known of people that they have some sort of a reverence to some holy thing that somebody has said is a holy thing. Brethren, there is nothing holy in this world but Christ. There's nothing to be set apart but Christ. Superstition is a form of idolatry. Some people have superstitions about various things or others. Such things are idolatry. Flee from them. What are they? They're nothing. Listen, the superstitions of the world are just simply that. They're nothing. That's why would we won't have anything to do with them? You know, if a black cat crosses our path, so what? I mean, if we walk under a ladder, so what? If a mirror breaks, so what? You know, but I've known people that, buddy, I mean, it's like, oh, Friday the 13th. Oh, my goodness alive. What difference does it make? One day is the same as the other. These things don't mean anything to us. They're nothing. Christ is all. What difference does all of that make? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Why is that? Because the Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before my face. We flee from idolatry. What do we want to have anything to do with that for? It's of nothing. We have no regard to it. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? I mean, is it our purpose? Is it our mindset to go just as far as we can go and see just what we can get away with? You know, that's how men think, isn't it? Well, you know, I'll be a Christian, but I'll go just as far as I can. I'll go up to the edge. No. You see, that's idolatry. That's the thinking of the way of the world. Flee from such things. You know, the purity of mind and thought is where is our quest. That's the thing we desire the Lord will work in us, not to make us where we can just do everything we can, but just stop just short of going over a certain line. Now, a lot of people, they have lines in their life, and they say, well, I'll go that far, but as far as I'll go. That's a form of idolatry, is it not? You know, I can go this far, but I can't go that far. Look, whatever is not unto the glory of God, and whatever we do which is not unto the glory of God, we ought to flee from it. Turn back from it. If we can't give God thanks for it, as we'll see what He says here in a moment. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than they, than He? I mean, do we think that somehow or other we've got a better idea than He does? How foolish. All things are lawful for me. Now listen to His argument here. Now some people stop right there. And they say, see there? All things are lawful for me. And it's a true thing. It doesn't change the fact that, because He already said it. What's idle? Nothing. Don't mean anything. All things are lawful to me. There's nothing that's not lawful to me. But He said, listen to what He says here. But see, the emphasis, here's where He's placing the emphasis. Now He's using the one thing to set up the contrast, and He's using the other to tell you what you, how you need to regard it. He says, all things are lawful for me. But that's not how we're to regard it. That's what we're to understand about it. What He says here next is what we are, how we are to consider it. But all things are not expedient. So you see, the children of God are guided not by the principle of what's lawful to them, but what's expedient, what's good, what is beneficial. Now, a lot of people say, well, I have the liberty to do thus and so. I can't argue with them. Yeah, you've got liberty. You've got the liberty. I mean, if Christ made you free, He made you free indeed. You have the liberty. But, dear brethren, God's people are not to be guided by their liberty, except it be the liberty we have in Christ. You see, and what is expedient? Now, what is expediency? That is that which is useful, that which is helpful. And as we'll see here in a moment, that which is beneficial not simply to us, but to our brethren. See, that's how we ought to regard things, most especially when we are in the presence of our brethren or around them. Our consideration is not simply what can I do, because I can do all things. I'm at liberty. I'm free. But because I'm free doesn't mean that all things are good for me. You know, it doesn't mean that all things... I mean, I can eat a whole chocolate cake. And I'm not going to be condemned before the Lord if I eat the whole chocolate cake. But that is not a very wise thing to do, is it? It's not helpful. It's not helpful to me. It's not helpful to my brethren to see me eat a whole chocolate cake. And it's certainly not a thing I want to set an example unto others for, is it? So it's not expedient for me to do that, even though I got the liberty to do it. And nothing's going to bring me into condemnation by it. All things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. Not all things are those things which would bring honor and glory to Christ, and all things that would bring honor unto my brethren. All things don't build them up in the most holy faith. That's what the word edify means. It's where we get the word edifice. It means a building. All things don't build up. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or another's benefit. Is what that of course, the word wealth is not even in the original language. That was added by the translators. You see, it's in italics. So it just says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's. So that is our benefit. Is secondary to the benefit of our brethren, according to what Paul's saying right here. Now that's not a very natural concept, is it? That's unnatural. Why? Well, every man's got to look out for his own self. I mean, did anybody ever have to teach you that? Huh? You put three little kids in a room, 2 years old. I guarantee you don't have to teach them to to want what's theirs and just look out for their own benefit. Why not? Because they show the work of the law written in their heart. I mean, they are what they are. And we are what we are. And so that's just natural. But you see, the way of Christ is opposite to that. Is it not? He said, let a man deny himself. Now, most people think what that means is you don't eat meat on Friday, or you abstain from this substance or that substance, and you deny yourself. That's not what he's talking about at all. This is self-denial right here, when you seek somebody else's benefit in substitute of your own. Now, it's okay, a lot of times we don't mind benefiting somebody as long as we're getting some benefit out of it, do we? But see, what he's talking about here is we seek our brethren's benefit even at our own expense. That's what he's saying. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. And then he kind of shifts gears a little bit. He's going to come back to that very thought. He says, whatsoever sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, have y'all been to the shambles lately? Huh? Well, what that word literally means is a meat market. That's what the shambles was. That is a meat market which they had in the city of Corinth. And of course, they made all these offerings daily and constantly were making all these flesh offerings to these various gods in these temples. Well, they'd go down there and offer it up to the temple. Well, then they didn't want to throw good meat away, so they'd take it down to the...
In cases, they didn't want to eat meat that hadn't been offered to them.
Well, that's probably a likely thing. And so it was like, it was in keeping with that thought, you know, the Jewish custom is they have to have a rabbi go and bless certain food because it to be kosher. And so if you see something in the store that's got a K on it or a pariv on it, it means that it's been blessed by a rabbi. And so perhaps you're correct about that. But in any event, this meat was sold in these markets and it had been offered unto these gods. He said, go down there and eat it. You know, it's just meat. Why? Why is that? I mean, is that meat tainted because it was offered to some god? No. Why? Because the gods are nothing. That don't mean anything. That's just superstition. Something's on the minds and hearts of other people. He said, whatsoever sold in the shambles, eat it, asking no question for conscience sake. You don't even have to think about it twice. He says, just meat. Eat it. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God made all things to be received with thanksgiving. If you want to eat a buzzard, eat it. Just be thankful for it. I mean, I'm not going to eat a buzzard, but if you wanted to, it's all right. Al said it was tough. So you know, it doesn't make any difference about it. Receive it with thanksgiving, for it belongs to the Lord to start with, and He gave it to men. And then he says something kind of in contrast to that. He says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. He said, if somebody invites you over to their house, and they're having a feast, and they want you to come, and you know or you don't know, it don't make any difference, if you knew it or you didn't know it, that they had offered these meats or food in this feast unto an idol, he said, just go and eat it. It doesn't make any difference if you're disposed to go. Whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. It can't bring you into condemnation. But then here's a big but. And this makes all the difference in the world. Because he said, but if any man say to you, we've offered this to idols, he said, don't eat it. Because you see, that makes a difference. Not for you, I mean, it doesn't make any difference to you. I mean, you can eat it. You've got the liberty to eat it, see? He said, the idol's nothing. Don't make any difference. It's not tainted meat. But he said, if he says to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat it not for his sake that showed it to you. Don't eat it. Why? Because by eating it, he will be thinking that you're saying, that's a good thing to offer this meat unto idols. And he said, don't eat it. Eat it not for his sake that showed it and for conscience sake. Now you're going to do it for conscience sake. Same reason that you ate the meat to start with, he says, don't eat it. Same conscience. Now isn't that amazing? Because what is the conscience? He said, for conscience sake, for the earth's the Lord's fullness thereof. See, the same argument that he gave to eat the meat is the exact same one that he says, don't eat the meat. Because he said, this belongs to the Lord. And he said, it's how men regard it that makes all the difference in the world. He says, we have no regard to any God other than Christ. So it don't make any difference to us what meat's meat. But he said, to some, it does make a difference. And he said, for their sake, conscience sake, not your conscience, but theirs. He said, for conscience sake, conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For how can my liberty be judged of another man's conscience? It can't. See, another man can't judge my conscience. And he doesn't know why I would do or not do something. But he said, don't do it for his sake, because you don't want him to be emboldened to eat these things. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace I be a partaker, for why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So what he's saying here is this. If a man that believes not bids you to a feast, and you don't know where that meat comes from, when you go there or when you leave, he says, eat it with thanks. But he said, if you're invited to come to partake of something that he is in his regard is unto another God, don't go. Not for your sake, but for his. Because why would you want to put a stumbling block in his way and have him to think that you believe that in some way you could offer sacrifice unto Christ and offer sacrifice unto idols at the same time? Can't be so. You can't do it, he said. Flee from it. Don't be a part of it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, he said, whether therefore you eat or drink. Now, whether you eat or drink. If you eat it, do it to the glory of God. But if you don't eat it, because of the reason he just set forth there, do it unto the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. Because whatever you do, if you can't give glory to God in it, why are you doing it? Think about that. If whatever it is you're doing, you can't say, Lord, thank you for this. What on earth do the people of God have to do with doing such a thing as that? Now, what did he say? He said, give thanks for all things. May the Lord give us a conscience void of offense in all things, so that we might give glory to Him in all things, but that we might not be idolaters in any sense, having regard to any sort of God or consideration, superstition, or whatever outside of Christ. for they are of no value whatsoever. And give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. We're not sent into the world to offend men. We're not sent into the world to straighten men out. Now, I know that's a letdown, isn't it? In a lot of ways. I mean, the Lord hadn't sent us to correct anybody. But He has indeed taught the people of God that we need to be mindful of our own self, aren't we? And how we consider. And most assuredly, we are to consider how what we do affects our brethren. That is important. And be mindful of it. And to be neither judgmental towards our brethren, who for conscience sake either abstain or partake of some things. See, this thing goes both ways. As brethren in the Lord, we are, as he says up here, conscience I say not thine own, for why is my conscience judged of another man? See, God's people aren't set forth as lords over one another. But we're given to be examples and set forth in that fashion. Give none offense. That should be our desire, that we be not offensive unto men, but that we live peaceably with all men, as much as lieth within us, not to the Jews, to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, to anyone. That covers everybody. Even as I please all men in all things, I seek to help other men. I seek to be a benefit to other men. I seek to go forth into the world to be a servant to all men. See, we're especially a servant unto the people of God, but dear brethren, we're also servants to all men in the world insofar as we can be. We're not sent out to go off out here and be some old crusty, irascible person, you know, that's hard to get along with and wants our own way and all of that thing, but we're sent into the world to be the servants of men. Now, if we wonder whether or not that's true, who do we need to look at? Christ. I mean, just look at Christ. That's how we're to be. I mean, He said, follow me, did He not? I mean, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. But He prayed for those that despitefully used Him. Now, what I'm telling you there, that's brethren, that's the most difficult. Now, it's impossible for anybody to imitate Christ. But we are given the commandment to follow in His steps, are we not? That is our desire. That is the place He's called us to. And we believe the exhortations that are given to us in the Scripture are sent to us to remind us what we are by nature, to cause us to fall on our faces and say, Lord, if You don't work this in me, it won't happen. Because I can't be like Him. I desire to be. Lord, cause it to be so. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. Profit of others, that they may be saved, that they may be delivered. See, our desire is to see men delivered. We're not happy. I mean, it's not humanly our place to just rejoice that some folks are perishing. Now, I rejoice in the purpose of God. And I understand that in the purpose of God, some are going to perish. But as a human being, you know, as one knowledgeable of the fact that the Lord alone has made me to differ from another, it's not anything that I did, but it's the mercy of God, I desire that other men might partake of that mercy, that they might have it. And I ain't got a minute's power on in the earth to give it to somebody, but it's my desire. And to go forth and to be a servant unto men, even as the Lord said. And most especially, to my brethren in Christ.